Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Revi, and I want to serve you forever as a priestess starting very soon. I want to welcome you to the women's program today. It's an honor and a privilege to present to you our first speaker, future priestess Sarah.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Today, my focus is going to be on the children in the house of Yahweh. And as Pastor has said many times before, we are all children. Everyone, please turn with me to Ephesians 6, verse 1 through 3. Ephesians 6, verse 1 through 3. It reads, "Children, obey your parents in Yahweh, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth." The word obey means to follow the commands or guidance of, to behave obediently. Positive Law number 210 says, "Show honor and respect to parents." That's found in Exodus 20, verse 12. And we know that that's the fifth commandment. Now, how many of you have ever been asked to do something that you don't like doing? I know I have. But even though we may not like doing it, we still have to be obedient and follow instructions. Let's think about some examples and the benefits of obedience. Little children, has your mother ever told you not to run out into the road or a parking lot? Did she tell you to hold her hand? When you obey her instructions, you will not only bring joy to your mother, but you will stay safe. Older children, when you do your chores you have been assigned, you will also bring joy to your parents because of your obedience. You will also benefit because you are helping to keep your home in order and you are learning how to be responsible. This will help you in the work of Yahweh. Young adults, when you take the time to listen to your parents' instructions and correction, you show you are willing to obey your authority. This humility will help you to be able to submit to other authorities, and we will always have someone in a higher authority over us that we will need to obey. Now I have a special quote from the One Sent to encourage each of us to be obedient. Remember, our spiritual mother is the house of Yahweh. So adults, please listen too. Could you please show slide one and play the audio?
Listen to me, Israel Hawkins. I want you to always listen to the voice of your mother. Do not put that frown when she speaks to you. Go quickly, hurry, and do what she asked you to do. And make sure you do it exactly how she instructs you. Start appreciating your mother when she corrects you because she shows you love when she corrects you. I want you to believe in the law in Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. It says, "Obey your parents in Yahweh, for this is right." Within this law is a child's guide to remaining alive and joyful and successful. It is your guide always from the trouble, sickness, and hurt that you see around you today in the day's world news. If you obey this law faithfully, it opens the door for Yahweh to make connection with you and deal with you as he did with Samuel.
Thank you. How many of you would like to make a connection with Yahweh like Samuel did? Can I see a show of hands? You can if you obey like Samuel obeyed his authorities. We are blessed because we have righteous teachers who are there to guide, protect, and teach us Yahweh's way. So remember to always obey them. May I have my last slide, please? In closing, I encourage you to always remember to obey your parents and authorities so we can become like pure, fine gold and enter into the kingdom of Yahweh together. Praise Yahweh. It's a privilege and honor to present to you our next speaker, future priestess Tikva.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may all be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. My topic today is the mess in the firmament. May I please have my video? When Yahweh created the earth and the heavens that govern the earth, He made sure that everything that was needed to sustain the life of mankind was perfectly in place. Nothing that mankind needed to stay alive and live long, healthy lives was left out. Yahweh made sure that mankind had everything necessary and that it was all in perfect working order before He created the first man and woman, Adam and Eve, and placed them in the garden. All of this is shown to us in Genesis chapter 1. Even though Genesis chapter 1 only takes up about one page or so in our books of Yahweh, it would take science stacks and stacks of books to explain the wonderful thing Yahweh did in creating the firmament. Yes, it's the firmament that Yahweh created that sustains all life. In a nutshell, the firmament is made up of billions and billions of micro-kingdoms that our eyes cannot even see, that work together in unity to supply everything we need to stay alive. From the air that we breathe to the water that we drink, and to the plants and clean animals that we eat, all of this was created by Yahweh's command to the micro-kingdoms of the firmament. When Yahweh created and gave the firmament and the micro-kingdoms their jobs, He told mankind to guard and keep it. He said that because there is only one thing that can interfere with these micro-kingdoms and stop them from doing their jobs. And that one thing is sin. When mankind breaks any of Yahweh's laws, but especially the laws of the clean and the unclean, and mixes the two in his body, whether through eating unclean foods or performing unclean activities like we read in Leviticus 11, Deuteronomy 14, and Leviticus 18, the consequences for the micro-kingdoms are disastrous. They can no longer do their jobs. They can no longer create the beneficial rainfall or snowfall in their due season. These sins create viruses and bad bacteria that make war with the beneficial micro-kingdoms. As a result, we now see wild weather, never seen by mankind before. Instead of gentle rains, we see flooding downpours that ruin crops, or else we see drought. So the micro-kingdoms in charge of growing plants cannot do their jobs properly. We see violent storms that destroy buildings and kill and injure people. We see extreme cold air that no longer stays in its boundaries. Because of man's sins, we now have an earth that no longer supports long, healthy life the way Yahweh intended from the beginning. And the people of the earth now mourn and languish. They grope about in darkness and have no place to turn to. Or do they? As Yahweh's prophet spoke long ago, in the last days, Yahweh would establish His house through His last days witness, His chosen branch, and seventh Malik Yisrael Hawkins, and all nations would flow to it. Could everyone please turn to Zechariah 6 on page 719? Verse 12. Speak to him and say, this is what Yahweh of hosts says. Behold the man whose name is the branch, for he will branch out from his place and build the house of Yahweh. Yes, all nations will flow to the house of Yahweh to learn how to never let the curses of sin overtake Yahweh's precious creation of the firmament again. Now I turn the services over to future priestess Cesaria Hawkins for prayer.
Shabbat shalom, saints of Yahweh. You may please be seated. Please take your seats. May Yahweh give us or grant us His Sabbath blessings today with much understanding. Many, many years ago, in the time period called the Dark Ages, a very important event took place in our lives, yet not us, but our foremothers. the children of Cain were bitter and angry because of the way that Yahweh wanted his plan to go. They were not in agreement. So they tried to get rid of everything that taught us about the great work of Yahweh, the great laws of Yahweh, how to keep the Sabbath perfectly, the teachings of Yahshua Messiah, our great high priest, everything about the great last day's work. They tried to get rid of those things. And all the writings that the prophets, the great prophets of Yahweh, all the writings that were set up for us, they got rid of those. They hunted our mothers and our fathers. They took the manuscripts, everything they had pertaining to Yahweh's perfect plan, and they got rid of them. Children, do you know the name of the event I'm talking about? May I have clip one, please? The book burnings, the burnings of everything that pertains to Yahweh's great laws. But do you know what? In these last days, Yahweh has given us a writer, a great writer who is going to get everything that they burnt in essence, and he's going to put it back together for us, for our learning. Children, do you know the name of the great writer? Israel Hawkins, could we show a picture of him, please? Clip number two. Children, do you see him writing? Yes. So therefore, Yahweh is going to allow him to get all the stuff back together for us and all the wonderful teachings that they burnt, like the menorah and the name of Yahweh. And what we're going to do now to prove that right, the burnings of the books, and Yahweh is going to give it back to us, to prove that right, listen carefully now to all the wonderful things that he has written, taught to us now by the great young 8-7 teachers. And at this time, I will introduce to you great Deaconess Yisraelia.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. Last week on Sabbath, one of the speakers spoke about the children out in the world. If you remember, and he spoke about the way that they're being trained, the way that they're being raised to learn how to fight, to hurt, take revenge, retaliate. And today, I want to talk about what the opposite of that is. Because the character that they teach the children out in the world is the character that they take with them for the rest of their lives. When they grow up and they encounter different situations and different problems, it's the same character of fighting and war that Cain had that they take with them. So today I want to show you what the opposite of that is. And my title today is Yahweh Make His Face Shine Upon You. If everyone would turn with me in your book of Yahweh to Numbers chapter 6. And verse 23, it says, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is how you are to bless the children of Israel. Say to them, Yahweh bless you and keep you. Yahweh make his face shine upon you and be merciful to you." And in verse 27, it says, "So they will put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them." So this is the priestly blessing. And Yahweh says that he is making his face shine upon us. So what does that mean? I would like everyone to get out a nice clean sheet of paper and a pencil or a pen. You're going to write something on nice and big on your paper. On your paper, I want you to write nice and big and pretty, "The face of Yahweh shines on me, comma, and put your name at the bottom." So you're writing, the face of Yahweh shines on me, comma, your name. And then you get to design your paper nice and pretty. Our overseer said to us, I am Yahweh to you, and you must be Yahweh to me. A few weeks ago, one of the head judges spoke, and if you remember, she showed us the mirror. And she said that we have to be the doers of the law of Yahweh, to where when we look in that mirror, we see the overseer's face reflecting back on us, or the face of Yahweh. So now, as you're designing your paper and making it look nice, I would like to read you some of the definitions of the word face. From dictionary.com, face means your actual face. It means a look or expression. Remember, our overseer always tells us to keep a smile on your face. Even if you're down, you're feeling upset, keep a smile on your face. Your countenance, your state of mind, your attitude. What is your attitude? Is it servitude? Or is it Cain's attitude of war and fighting? It's your presence, your energy. What is the energy that you're putting out? What is the energy that you're displaying? Is everyone's paper design nice and pretty with your name at the bottom? It should look something like this poster we have. Because, sisters, as the end is getting closer and the tests and trials are getting harder, we should be reflecting Yahweh's face in everything that we do. In the way we talk, the way we act, the way we work, the way we dress, the way that we respond to our supervisor at work, the way we lead. How do you speak to the people who are under you? Do you show the love and care and concern that Yahweh has shown to us all of our lives? This is the face of Yahweh that we should be reflecting, or the example that we set for others. So we can honestly say something like this. May I have the video, please?
I am Israel Hawkins.
I am the house of Yahweh.
We are Israel Hawkins.
I'm the house of Yahweh.
We are the house of Yahweh.
I'm Israel Hawkins.
I'm Israel Hawkins.
I am Israel Hawkins.
We are Israel Hawkins.
I'm Israel Hawkins.
I'm Israel Hawkins.
I'm Israel Hawkins.
I am Israel Hawkins.
We are Israel Hawkins.
And we are the house of Yahweh.
Praise Yahweh. Let's give him a hand. All right, and with that, if you all please stand, I would like to turn it over to our next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. You can be seated. Okay, so I'm going to be talking about standing in the place that you have been given in Yahweh's house. Now, we've been learning a lot about this in the last few years. I know we heard some of it last week. And We all know, we all go through many tests and trials, and at times it's hard and sometimes it seems impossible, but we have to remember that with Yahweh it is possible. Now, one thing we've heard many times is one of the tools that we've been given to help us in the situations, and it's the STOP acronym. It's very simple, that the peace solution has to stop, to think about the situation that we are in, and to consider the options that we have and then proceed with the right choice. So what does it mean to stand in our place? It's not just showing up for our assigned duties. It includes that, but it's more. Being responsible for fulfilling and making sure that we know what we are assigned to do. But also showing up, but also having that willing attitude to serve. And I'm sure we all remember the sermons that we're given on the attitude of servitude. And making sure we put effort into what we are doing and finding that joy in it. Now, standing in your place is also helping others, as Pastor said, praying for them and considering others before ourselves. And also overcoming so that we can be a better help in the work and a positive example in helping others to stand in their place. Now, in certain situations we go through, like I said before, it seems impossible, but we always have to remember how blessed we are to be in Yahweh's house and be able to, that we have the opportunity to stand in our place. Now, we know many people, they don't have this, and we see the suffering in the world, but we have to realize that we've been called out to help in this work, and also, like Pastor has been encouraging us to become teachers so we can help bring peace. Now, think about the words that I said just a minute ago, to stand in the place that Yahweh has given us. Now, I know I heard many people say when they're working the jobs that they have, they never thought that they would be doing this. They've thought they would, when they get older, they would be doing something different. But they also said that I never thought that I would enjoy doing something like this. And we have to remember that Yahweh puts us where we need to be. At times we might not realize that, but we have to know that it's where we are needed. So it's our choice. We can choose to enjoy it and make it a blessing to others, or we can refuse to accept it, and it's just going to cause us and everyone around us to be miserable. So it's our choice, but I think we could probably all agree that we would choose to find joy, right? So it's like what Pastor said with the peace solution. The only way it won't work is if you refuse it. So it's the same thing here. The only way that you can't stand in your place is if you reject where your place is. So we have to remember that Yahweh directs our every step. Now for a scripture in Jacob 1, 2-3, it says, "Count it all joy when you fall into various temptations, knowing that the testing of your faith develops endurance." So like it says there, the tests and trials that we go through develops that endurance for us to stand in our place. Now in closing, there's going to be a short clip in a few minutes, and it's a sermon that Pastor gave quite a few years ago, but we've heard it throughout the years from other speakers. It was the three things that he told us to let say and hear us say. And the first one was, "I will wait on Yahweh, I will not go on my place, and I will remain in the house of Yahweh forever." Now, can everyone please stand? So now in unison with Pastor, we're going to let say and hear us, okay? So can you please play the video?
"I will wait on Yahweh. I will not go out of my place. I will remain in the house of Yahweh forever."
So now let's make sure we do that and never forget it. With this, I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, you may all be seated. I want to paint a picture in your mind. Imagine yourself knowing this person who's supposed to be your friend, and they started judging you and told others negative things about you that weren't true. In their interactions with you, they started treating you differently. 5 years later, you're still being treated with disrespect because of things one or two people said about you. How would this make you feel? Well, today I'm going to talk about respect. Wouldn't you feel disappointed and hurt for being treated disrespectfully? We all came to the house of Yahweh because we knew that Yisrael Hawkins was the witness, and this is where truth was being taught. It really never has and never will matter to Yahweh where you were born and raised. The only thing that matters to Yahweh is that now you're overcoming and striving to become more like Him. So we should be kind and respectful to everyone. My parents always tell me, Yahweh knows what's in your heart and mind. You can't hide anything from Yahweh. Yahweh knows everything. On the day of judgment, you won't be able to tell Yahweh, I did this because of what she told me, or I said this because of what he said. Yahweh doesn't accept our excuses. Once you have been taught, you're held accountable for your actions. The peaceful solution teaches that respect should be given freely to all. You wouldn't want to be the one having someone talk behind your back about you. You wouldn't want to be treated differently just because of what someone said. Being treated this way doesn't feel nice, and no one deserves to be treated like this. I want you to think about that person who you think you may have a problem with, or you may not like, the one who rubs you the wrong way. How do you treat that person? Pastor told us to read we should be treating them with respect and compassion. Pastor told us to read the book of Jacob every month. It's for a reminder and our encouragement. Please turn over with me to Jacob 2, 9, and 10. But if you show respect to persons, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as a transgressor. For whoever keeps the whole law but yet offends in one point, he is guilty of all. Let's also remember positive law number 206, which says, love your neighbor, whether your brother or an enemy, as yourself. Leviticus 19, 18. Treating others with respect is one way we can keep positive law number 206. Hebrews 10, 24 tells us how to treat others with respect. If you all turn over to Hebrews 10, 24. It says, and let us consider one another on how we may urge one another unto love and righteous works. Praise Yahweh. In closing, I want to remind you that Yahweh wants us to continue to build righteous character just like him. And now I'll turn it over to the next speaker. Shalom, you may all be seated. Have you ever wanted to be involved in something bigger than you? Or have you ever wanted to make a friend? Are you interested in developing positive moral character? Do you need to exercise more? Anybody here want to relieve stress? Yes, I think you all do. Today we will talk about how you can reap all of these benefits simply by getting involved in the work. Simple. Who can get involved in the work? You, age 0+. Some of the work areas that I have experienced and you might enjoy are it's a long list. So there's lots of work areas that we all can be involved in. See, the list goes on and on and on. Stick it here. Okay. Since you can't see all of them, since the podium's too short and there's a lot of workers, I'm going to read them to you. I've been in the bakery. That's my current one. PSTC. Cashier, garden, cafeteria, book checking, paying tithes, butter house, gold sewing department, general store, foot washing, sanctuary cleanup, workshop setup team, concession stand, deaconess assistant duty, and teaching. And there's more too, but that's the ones I've experienced. And from the work areas, we all can learn something. As the speakers before said, at the bakery, I learned forgiveness from the sourdough bread. How many of you like that sourdough bread? It can rise and fall several times and still turn out very nice. And I also get a lot of exercise. I learned patience at the PSTC. I developed my customer service skills and refined my math skills as a cashier at the cafeteria. We can all learn honesty by paying our tithes. Like Yahweh said, just give 10%. We have to make sure it's 10%. As you can see, it's very easy to develop our positive character traits by getting involved in the work. Where can you go to receive these blessings? You can go to the South office, or like the announcement said, the cafeteria right after services. Remember? Smile. If you please turn over to Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 to 8 on page 733. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. When can we do this part of the work? Anytime. Please turn over to Ecclesiastes 3:1, page 519. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. Some benefits of the work is it helps to develop unity, it creates a sense of belonging, develops positive character traits, you get a lot of physical exercise, and it's stress relief. Especially if a parent, a trip to the cafeteria can be relaxing to work for a few hours. You please turn over to Psalm 84,
Verse 10 on page 467. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 other days. We had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of Yahweh than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. And we turn over, please, to Jacob 2:18. Page 954. Yes, a man may say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. My parents always say, if you do the job nobody else wants to do, with a positive attitude, you always have a job. That's called job security. Remember, let's go to the cafeteria after services. And remember, let's smile as we do the work of the eye. And I'll see you in the work. And if you all please stand and work. Oh, I mean welcome the next speaker.
Praise Yahweh. Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. Okay, I have a riddle for you. Okay, you ready? All right. You never lied to me. You are like a friend. You are my buddy when I study. Your last name is Yahweh. You tell me the past and the future. All of your words are full of wisdom. Great, I heard it. The Book of Yahweh. I thought it was going to be tricky. But it's the Book of Yahweh. I hope everyone brought their Book of Yahweh. Okay. How many of you love your Book of Yahweh? Yes. How many of you love your Book of Yahweh as a friend, like how Pastor loved his Book of Yahweh like a friend? Praise Yahweh. But imagine not having a Book of Yahweh. That occurred 15,000 years ago until now. And in Isaiah 34:16, if you turn there, it's on page 551. And it says, search out the Book of Yahweh and read. Not one of these will be neglected, for it is written, Yahweh is their shepherd. They shall not want, for his mouth has commanded it, and his spirit has gathered them. Okay, so that was out of the Book of Yahweh. Now I want to read you the King James Version and the Amplified. Same chapter and same verse. It says, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. Okay, and then the Amplified, same thing. Seek out the book of the Lord and read. So you see, what is the difference between the Book of Yahweh, the King James Version, and the Amplified? The name, right? They changed the name. They changed the name out of that verse. Now, in Jeremiah 23:27, if you'll go there too, it's on page 592. It says, who devised plan and scheme to cause my people to forget my name through their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, just as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal and Lord. So you see, they took out the name of Yahweh, so they won't know who the Creator is, and they won't know who to call for. Okay, and the Catholic Church took the most thing that is valuable to the people of Yahweh, the Book of Yahweh. And so much killing occurred during that time that the Catholic Church tried to take the Book of Yahweh from everyone's home and only allowed those who gave into sin to live. Now, it all started when Titus, when he brought the artifacts to Rome, which the artifacts was the Book of the Law, the Menorah, and the Ark of the Covenant, which reminds us of Yahweh and his plan. And Moshe set it up that the people of Yahweh read the Book of the Law, which they worshipped, where they worshipped Yahweh, which was that temple. Now, and the Catholic Church was slowly getting people to forget Yahweh's name. Now, in Revelations 12:9, It says, "And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil, and Satan who deceives the whole world. She was cast into the earth, and her angels were cast out with her." So you see, Satan deceived the whole world into thinking that Lord and God is our creator. And Satan deceived way from the beginning when she deceived Eve, that thinking that righteousness and evil is okay. Now, as you see, the world is so deceived that they think war will bring them peace, which is very obvious that it doesn't. That only just brings more war. But we should be so thankful to have the book of Yahweh and know the real truth. So even though we have the book of Yahweh and the dictionary and the Strong's to study, we're missing one more thing to help us better understand the book of Yahweh. Anyone guess? Yisrael Hawkins. Can everyone say it? Yisrael Hawkins. Praise Yahweh. And with this, I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker. Shabbat Shalom, Saints of Yahweh. You may be seated. Now, what you just heard there was not music made from man. It was a microorganism singing that Yahweh has created. That was a joyful sound of the microbe spoken of in the inspired Holy Scriptures. And if you'll all turn over to Zechariah chapter 4, one of the great cons who spoke last week went to this scripture, Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10. And he expounded on the small things. And we learned, I'm going to read it if you're there. It's on page 718. "For who has despised the day of small things? They will rejoice and will see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel, and the complete knowledge and understanding of Yahweh will go throughout the whole earth." And the Khan said that word small meant the young, the insignificant, the things that we might think less of. And then he said, "Don't think less of the microbes." Now, I want you to keep also the young priestess who spoke this morning. She spoke about the mess in the firmament. So think about that joyful sound as opposed to the mess in the firmament at this time. The original has been destroyed. But the book of Yahweh has been inspired to come back so we can be taught by our overseer to work towards having the power that you could receive to help these microbes go back to the original state that they were intended to be. Now think about the small things, the day of small things. And think about the day our overseer was born, the day that the house of Yahweh was established, and the role the microorganisms had to play in all those things. Think about, remember how Pastor tells us, and the other priests as well, the feast that it rained all around the press room, and it didn't even touch the house of Yahweh, the campgrounds. And think about the microbes. And think about the power that our Savior has at this time. And I have a picture for you at the end of this to show that. We know that heaven and earth is witnessing at this time our actions and what we are doing and the choices we are making. Yahweh's wanting to show them that they can trust this last day's work. They can trust our overseer to have authority over them one day, to be able to direct everything in the original way, the way it was intended to be, like Genesis chapter 1 shows. And all creation awaits at this time for us to overcome and to be those strict teachers of righteousness that will never let these things occur again. Remember also, Pastor told Pope Francis he will never have the authority to tell the wind what to do, and it will do it.
And remember the words of our Savior. He said, if you can overcome these things, you will be able to say to this mountain, move, and it will do so, or it will be taken up out of its place. There's microbes everywhere around us. Yahweh created them in the beginning, and they're in the water, the land, the air, and that's what we're made up of. They're in our food, and they have those specific rules that they go by. And mankind has transgressed the laws, changing their, like we talk about the genetic code in humans, they have changed those things in the microbes. And if I could please have the picture of the drawings. There you can see young children in the house of Yahweh understand these teachings. Microbes communicate underground. Could I have the next one? Microbes that turn dead body back to dust. Could I have the next one? Microbes high in the air. There you see Isaiah 40:22, the grasshoppers. Could we please have the next one? STDs actually attacking the micro kingdoms. Could we have the next one? And micro kingdoms that form raindrops. We should remember Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 through 4, that talks about those things that we cannot see at this time. The things that are not in evidence, but now we can see them through the teachings of Yeshua Hawkins. Can I have the next picture? And there you can see, if we overcome, we will have some of the power that Yahweh wants to grant us, the power that Yahweh wants to grant us. And the example of that is where Yahshua can say to the microbes, form this cloud in front of the chosen branch, and it will do so. And with this, if you all please stand, I'll turn over to the next speaker. Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. Now, I really thought I was going to be tying in with our first speaker, but it seems that I'm going to be tying in with everybody's speeches. But what I'm going to be focusing on is being like Yahweh. So when you hear Yahweh or you think about him, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Go ahead, you can think of something. I'll give you 2 seconds. One, two. You got something? Something? Hopefully. Okay, so I asked some people beforehand, and their answers were patient, amazing, loving, the Creator, and family. They think about family when they think of Yahweh. And for those of you who would have been like me and couldn't think in 2 seconds, you could just say that Yahweh is so great you couldn't think of a word to describe him at that minute. Because some say, you know, he is beyond what words can describe or explain. But we can see and we know what kind of a person he is by reading in Exodus about his 13 attributes. Now, I want to hear you on this one. There's another person in these last days that possessed those same 13 attributes. Who is that? Yeshua Hawkins. That's correct. Our overseer. And remember, he said he is Yahweh to us, and he wants us to be Yahweh to him. And how do we do that? By taking on those same 13 attributes, as we've all read before. And by reading throughout the book of Yahweh, which we've heard 2 people mention that now. They tried to take it away, they didn't succeed, and they never will. We still have it, so we can read about Yahweh. With him, there's no partiality, and most certainly no respecter of persons. He said in Numbers, it's one law and one manner for everyone. What goes for the rich, it goes for the poor. What goes for you, it goes for me. He doesn't look at who you are, or what you are, his laws stay the same, and he loves everyone the same. And that's how we've all got to be, not letting our attitude change when we talk or deal with somebody else differently. How I talk to you, I should talk to that person too. If there's a difference in being respectful and being a respecter of persons. If you wouldn't say something to a Kohan, then don't say it to a brother. If you wouldn't say it to a Kohana, well then don't say it to a sister. Yahweh isn't going to change his laws to fit us, to suit you, you know, or change it because of your position, who you're married to, or who your parents are. He said the higher the position, the stricter the judgment. Now, we all have positions in Yahweh's house, correct? Yes. But we have to remember to be humble, like Yahweh, Yahshua, and Pastor. Not one who throws it around and expects everybody to wait on us hand and foot. Okay, that's not what Yahweh wants from his people in his house. Another thing is, Yahweh is very patient and forgiving, is he not? He is. And you can read it in the book of Yahweh also. You can look around at his people and see his plan, and we can see it. Forgiving means you let it go and you don't hold on to it. If you make a mistake or you do wrong, well, then apologize and ask for forgiveness right then. Don't just hold on to it. Because I find it very annoying. I've heard before, you know, there's people that go around and they'll only ask right before Yeshua's memorial. They'll ask you, I just want to apologize for something that I did. It's something that could have occurred between now and last Yeshua's memorial, the last time they apologized. Okay, so don't wait till Yeshua's memorial to apologize. Because it's like, seriously, if you want to apologize, well then do it right then and take care of it. You know, don't wait the whole year to come and apologize. Because we all make mistakes. Nobody's perfect. We're going to upset others and be upsetted. Now, I know that's not a word, but it is now, okay? So, and I think you get it. So with that, I would like to leave you with another surprise video. So if I could have that video, please.
Be like Yahweh. I have some words to share with you. If you are feeling down, they'll help you pull through. No matter what test might come your way, always remember to be like Yahweh. For the love of his creation and his people too should be the love that is found within me and you. In Exodus 34, you'll find his 13 traits. For us to possess them, he patiently awaits. When arguing and fighting will be seen no more. For love, joy, and peace to the world will restore. Our example is Pastor, and like him, we should be, for he is just like Yahweh, and he will never flee. Remember, we must stand in our place. No matter what test it is, we might face, for the kingdom is coming, so we must endure, for our spot in the kingdom will forever secure.
Praise Yahweh. So now we got our inspiration from the mouth of a child, so always remember to be like Yahweh. And with that, I'll turn it over to Head Judge Tana.
Shalom. You may be seated. Maybe I do need this stepladder. Guess I'm shorter than I thought. All the time in the house of Yahweh, and I thought I would grow. Praise Yahweh. Now, we're going to continue in our program, and we've got some more speakers, but I want to remind everyone of something. Is it something new that pastors told us that he's trying to build teachers in this last time period? No. Pastor had a dream, but this is something that he shared with us many, many years ago. And I invited a very special old friend to remind us of this fact. Please play the clip from 2006.
That's why Yahweh's training our leadership, because we're going to be in the position of teaching these people of what they did wrong and what they need to do. That's why you need to get involved with the classes and listen to these sermons, because this is where you're getting your education and learning how to educate these nations.
Okay. That was from 2006. That was before we had that very, 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 very hard time with the persecutions that came against the house of Yahweh. But even back then, and before then, pastors been urging us, and I remember back in when I first came in the 80s, pastor called it the New World Training Center. And he had speech classes, and he would actually come to the speech classes to encourage us. So sisters, this is something that our overseer has had. It's been a vision of his for a long time, that we would take the reins and begin to teach, start to train so that we'll know what to teach, because these nations are hungry for the peaceful solution at this time. They need it. This is a desperate situation. Right now, we've got rapes, murders, all these drugs, We've got things that are going on in these nations, not only in the United States, but all over the world. And they're escalating at an alarming rate. So it's very vital that we learn to become teachers so that we can take this out to all nations. It's that important. And at this time, we've got a panel of speakers that are going to show you how they've been training, and they attend the classes, and they've been really doing a great job. So at this time, I'd like to welcome our first teacher.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. Can I have my first slide, please? Okay. Today I'm going to talk about what truly separates us from the world. We all know in here that there's a difference between the teens in the world and the teens of the house of Yahweh. You can clearly see that. But what is the thin line that truly separates us? Please turn over to Matthew 7:16. It says, "You shall know them by the fruits." Now, what truly separates us is our thoughts, desires, and the way we conduct ourselves. The people we associate ourselves with is what separates us. The people we associate ourselves with, what we allow to influence us. Are we going to classes? If so, are we participating? Are we paying attention? Or are we seeing how we can teach the class better than the teacher is? But why don't we just simply apply what we're being taught? We should be thankful that we have Pastor Joe Hawkins and the priest who knows and teaches us the truth. One thing we as the House of Yahweh have is hope. The world today, they're just existing. They wake up day after day wondering if they're going to die or if they're going to win the lottery because it's going to change their life. If you remember when the missionary trip, when they went to Argentina, they showed pictures of the people praying to dead men's bones because they put their trust in a God who has nothing for them to offer. If you turn over to Matthew 7:15, it says, "Beware false prophets who arrive in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." Remember what Pastor said, study to show yourself approved and cram for the exam. Instead of hanging out with your friends, you can study with them. When you see someone in help, serve them, because remember, servitude is the best attitude. And also, like what was said one time, don't be the five foolish virgins. Be the five wise virgins who go to class. Someone comes up and tells you that Yisrael Hawkins is not the witness or something in the house of Yahweh is not being done right, you have it deeply planted in your mind and strongly believe that Yisrael Hawkins is the last day's witness and this is the last day's house and nothing occurs outside of Yahweh's plan. Now, please turn over to Yael 2:28. It's found on page 693. It says, "And it will come to pass afterward, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions." And if you remember what was said last week about Yahweh has called us to be teachers. So get ready and get prepared. We have all the tools we need. And just like Daniel said, knowledge will be increased to further the work and to get it done. And if you also remember what I said last week, that we're going to be teaching through computer screens. And so don't waste your time. In conclusion, I want to encourage you to keep coming to the classes morning and afternoon. Find your part in Yahweh's work. Stay in Yahweh's house. Keep studying to show yourself approved. And if we do, our great positions await us. And with this, I'll turn over to the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. You all may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I recently heard someone say that the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program has nothing to do with Yahweh or his laws. And that surprised me. So today, We're going to settle the matter once and for all. This book was published in 2000. Now, the Peaceful Solution has been around way longer than I have. And right here it says, you must not steal. Is that a law? Yes. Yes, it is. And it can be found in Exodus 20, verse 15, and Prohibitive Law number 244. So the matter is settled. Praise Yahweh. Up to this point, there has never been any books written that teach the laws of Yahweh, that teach the curses that will come upon you when you break Yahweh's laws in a way that the world can understand. This book is the beginning of the laws being taught to the world. Every mother and father has the desire for their children to become righteous and be righteous. Would you agree? They just have not had a teacher or a manual to help them succeed as Mother Hannah and Mother Sarah did until now. Today's world finds itself in the same dilemma that many nations were in the time of Daniel. All nations are suffering from the same curses and diseases that the inspired prophets revealed to this generation, the last generation. As a result of the world ignoring and changing Yahweh's perfect proven laws of peace, the worst time of trouble ever in the history of mankind is taking place right now. The purpose of the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program is to help every person develop that ability to learn, live, and teach Yahweh's righteous laws of peace. If one law, do not steal, alone have been taught to the nations for the past 100 years, instead of wars and destruction and violence, we would not be facing nuclear war right now. That is why it is so important for all of us to have these books, read them, study them, and practice them. These books reveal the true way to peace. So the answers are in these books. So get one, open it, start reading it, and get on the road to peace. I thank you for your time, and I'll turn it over to the next teacher.
Thank you very much. Shalom. You all may be seated. My speech today is called Thankful in Prayer, Praise Indeed. Now, the reason why I started off with this speech is because we can become very complacent in our life, and we forget to be thankful, and we also sometimes we forget to who we're supposed to thank. So I'd like to direct you to Proverbs 3, verses 6 on page 497, and it reads, in all your ways acknowledge Yahweh, and he will direct your paths. So, tells you who we need to be thankful to right there. So we need to remember, what is thankful? Well, the American Heritage Dictionary says thanks, to express gratitude, to give thanks to hold responsibility and credit. Now, if you want to go a little bit more deeper, we can go thanks. It also says that thanks means a grateful feeling or thought or gratitude, an expression of gratitude. You can see the recurring theme here. And to be thankful is to be aware and appreciative of a benefit, grateful, and expressive of gratitude. So, I give thanks to Yahweh, so much also showing gratitude. I also need to acknowledge that he is the one that gives me the things that he gives me. I know that without Yahweh, I would not be here. And not a single one of us would be here. This sanctuary would not be built. And today there would be sheep grazing in the fields right here today, like it was before it became the 44. And cattle even. And some farmer would just be going on in his way, never even hearing about the house of Yahweh. And nobody in this area would have known about the house of Yahweh if Yahweh hadn't brought it here. And so I'm thankful that I'm here today and that this great house is built and it's here where I can learn. And there's so many different ways that we can be thankful in our very everyday lives. Well, one of the things that we're told to do three times a day is to pray. And that is a way of showing thanks. Because we acknowledge that Yahweh is the one that gives us all things. And we are grateful to him. And we even thank him in our prayers for what he's given us and what we are asking for him to give us. Because we're acknowledging that all things come from him. Now, he doesn't always give us the things the way we think we're going to be given it. I'll give you a little story. This week, I was making cupcakes. I never made cupcakes before, so I was very nervous. So I gave a quick prayer to Yahweh and asked Yahweh, please, may my cupcakes be perfect. And I put 11 cupcakes in the oven. Now, 4 fell. It just fell. It didn't even cook properly. I had 7 perfect cupcakes. Well, 7's the number of perfection, so I got what I asked for. So, you know, be careful what you ask for. You might just get it. You might not just realize what you're asking for. So with that, I like to turn over to Ephesians 5, 19 through 20. And it reads, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to Yahweh, always giving thanks for all things to Yahweh the Father by the authority of our head, Yeshua Messiah. So remember, we can't forget our high king and our priest over the house of Yahweh. We also need to acknowledge him. And, you know, in speaking to another in psalms, well, today my speech is thankful in things and all prayer and praise and deeds. And I'm sure all you musically talented out there recognize the psalm I'm quoting. And you can write that down, and if you haven't, you can look it up. We really do need to have that song in our heart and speak with those words. The Psalms really help us be thankful, and it really shows us what we need to know. Now, in conclusion, I'd like you all to turn to Ephesians 5, 19 through 20. That's on page 919. And it says, I know that whatever Yahweh does, it will be forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken from it. Yahweh acts, and men will give him reverence. And so I ask you today, sisters, let's give Yahweh reverence. Let's be thankful in all of our deeds and prayer and things. I know sometimes it can be hard, and we can get... Being thankful isn't something that it just occurs. It's a learned behavior. It's something that we have to strive for, something that we have to push forward to be in ourselves. And so today I ask you, let's all learn to be thankful and to give gratitude to our Heavenly Father Yahweh through the authority of our High Priest Yeshua. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to our next speaker.
Shabbat Shalom, you may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I have a few questions to ask you, and these are just questions that to keep in mind. Number one, am I living out on the streets with no food, clothing, or shelter? Number two, are you thankful for your place in the house of Yahweh? Are you allowing yourself to fall into the traps of Satan's system? And am I groping in the dark for answers to my problems? Through the day-to-day grind and through the tests and trials that we go through, we tend to forget how blessed we truly are. And we find ourselves complaining about our house, where we live, our job, where we work, whatever we choose to complain about. These are pastor's words. Is a skillet with a broken handle better than no skillet at all? The materialistic things that we have now, they're not forever. Money, wealth, not forever. And we have to remember that if it's not forever, we don't want it.
We need to remember our place, our job in the house of Yahweh, in the work of Yahweh. That's what's forever, if we stand in our place and if we let no one take our crown. A lot of people in society are living in poverty, and they're under the oppression of the system. Now we think about that, and then we think about what we have here. We have clean water to drink. We have clean food to eat. We have a place of shelter. We have clothes to wear. And we have the greatest teacher in the world, Pastor and Overseer Yisrael Hawkins. We are part of the greatest work in these last days. Now I look at the word poverty in the Webster's Dictionary, and it says a state of being poor, deficiency of amount, miserably poor. We are the richest people on the face of the earth. Do we believe that? We are rich with this knowledge. May I have picture one, please? Now, this is a map of Ukraine. Now, Ukraine is a place that has a lot of people living in poverty. And as of 2012, 24.1% of people live in, at, or below the poverty line. Now, the population there is 45.59 million. Now, Viktor Yanukovych was the ousted president, and they said that they ousted him because he spent approximately $75 to $100 million of government money to build his, what they call his palace. And now it's a museum. Could I have picture two? Picture three? Four? And five. Now, these are just a few of the pictures showing this place that he lived in. And he also had a private zoo, a garden, and a few other things. Now, when I saw this, it reminded me of Proverbs 22, verse 1. It says, an honorable name is to be chosen rather than great riches, and loving esteem is to be chosen rather than silver and gold. This honorable name is to be called the children of Yahweh, the sons and the daughters of Yahweh, the saints of Yahweh. This honorable name should be our treasure. This honorable name will be forever if we endure. And this honorable name should be chosen rather than the wealth and the riches of this world. The world loves riches and money so much that they would be willing to steal it to get it. What do you think that the Crusades were all about? Getting rid of the name Yahweh and the house of Yahweh and taking all the plunder for themselves. This is because this is what the system has taught them to do. Matthias 6 verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Storing up treasures in heaven doesn't mean storing up a spiritual necklace and a spiritual jewelry box and sending it on flight. We're talking about rewards of righteousness, trust, unity, servitude. We have the greatest treasures right here at the house of Yahweh. We have everything we need. We should have nothing to complain about. Just think about it. What will the kingdom of Yahweh be like if everyone complained? Life will be so annoying and so miserable. So-and-so always burns the biscuits. My toast ain't toasted enough. My house is too small. Blah, 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 blah. It's really Yahweh, I don't like that spaceship. This planet's too cold. Finding anything and everything to complain about. It's really not worth it. Why go through all this when we can just be thankful for what we have? Be thankful for what we're given. Count our blessings because it can be taken from us and we won't have anything to count. Positive law number 19, be thankful to Yahweh in prayer, praise, and deed, like our previous speaker just spoke on. And you can find that in Deuteronomy 8, verse 10. Remember, this honorable name, we will be called with this name forever if we endure and overcome. Our treasures of righteousness, that's where our hearts should be. That's where our mind should be in this work. Because if it's not forever, we don't want it. May I bless your understanding, and at this time, I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom. Please sit. My topic today is related to a chart that we have here. The chart says, may we look at the chart, please? It says, love, true love, equals sin no more. Children, look at the chart carefully. It reads, love, true love, equals sin no more. In the world, there's all different fancy ways of signing your letters. Yours truly, respectfully, and all those fancy things. Many, many years ago when I came to the house of Yahweh, I saw the letter signed, love, true love. So I said, what would that mean? Love, true love? Do you know who signs the letters love, true love in the great house of Yahweh? YH. Nice. So we asked him, what does love, true love mean? Love, true love. He said, now I don't know, maybe I need to ask, three things, love, true love, and his answer had 3 points. He said, love, it's not like the fake love that we see in the world today. The world does not know Yahweh's laws. But his point was, it's not like the fake love in the world. 2, it is the love of Yahweh. And 3, this is the love of Yahweh, that we keep his commandments. These were his 3 points on what love, true love means. And then when I read, sin no more has also 3 points. Sin no more. Now, can we show the chat again, please? There's a subliminal message there on the chat for you. Did you see it? Uh-huh. There's a subliminal message on the chat for you. Ah. It's the signature of Yisrael Hawkins, right on the love, true love. Can you see that? Ah, it's subliminal. So that's the kind of subliminal messages that we need in Yahweh's great house and through our lives. Very nice. So, listen carefully. If you know that there is something, let us say, for example, a dangerous snake hiding behind the bushes over there, and you see your sister going towards that area, right where that terrible, dangerous snake is, wouldn't you want to tell her, don't go over there, there's a dangerous snake out there? Would you tell her that? Is that love, true love? You sure? Very nice. Do you think she'll be upset and bitter that you've told her that? How do you think she'll feel? Oh, she's thankful. She's grateful to you for pointing that out to me. True? Yes. So, when you tell your sister, the dress code is not quite right, we'll all be in trouble, how do you think she should feel? Same, thankful. Joyful. Do you see it? True love is telling us, sin no more. Do you see it, sisters? They are equal. They mean the very same thing. If you love, you will truly tell me, don't do that. It's going to hurt me. It's going to hurt yourself. It's going to hurt the entire universe. If you truly love me. So when you show love to your sisters, you are telling them in essence, sin no more. Now, the scripture says in Isaiah, turn with me please, Isaiah 59:15. It says, yes, truth the law is suppressed, and he who departs from evil upholds the law is accounted as mad. When you stand firm and you want to prove true love is sin no more, you are accounted as mad. He makes himself a prey. P-R-E-Y, prey. P-R-E-Y, prey. What is a prey? A prey is an animal or something that's hunted after to be killed and sometimes eaten. A prey is something that is hunted after to be killed and sometimes eaten. May I have clip number 1, please?
Sit here and watch with me as I go over here and pray. are you seeking? Who are you seeking?
Praise Yahweh. A prayer is something or someone who is hunted after. Why would you want to hunt and kill someone who is teaching you something for your benefit? Do you see how Yeshua was a prayer? P-E-R-Y. Hunted after simply because he told us, sin no more. Is that what he told the woman? He said, if you sin no more, please go ahead and sin no more, or a greater thing will befall you. Why would that get us so bitter and angry that we would want to kill him? Is it how we feel, sisters? When our colleagues, our other sisters in Yahweh's great house say to us, sin no more, in whatever way, in whatever area of the work, is that how we feel towards her? Oh, I could tell her just what I think about her. Is that how they felt towards Yeshua when he said to them, no, 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 do not take your brother's wife. Sin no more in whatever form it causes the righteous man to become a prey. May I have clip number 2, please?
Exodus 20 and verse 20. Moshe said to the people, do not fear, for Yahweh has come to test and prove you, so that the reverence of Yahweh will be with you, so that you will not commit sin. That's what he's doing with you. He's teaching you day after day, week after week.
Perfect examples of people, two men who strived and decided that they were going to stay with Yahweh's way, to show us and to tell us, sin no more. And that is simply because they have that true love for mankind, that true love for us. And yes, they will always oppose Babylon, and those of us who are going to stand with them, we will be prey too. So be ready, sisters, to become a prey as the two perfect examples we saw here. And Yahweh gave us a magnificent example of a man after his own heart, who, because of the events of his life, he was remorseful. He was sorry down to the ground, remorseful for what he had done. And Psalm 51 is a perfect example of how he cried out to Yahweh for what he had done. You can write the psalm down and you can memorize it. It's a beautiful psalm. And if we turn there with me, please, to Psalm 51 in closing. Psalm 51, and we will read just verse 1 May I have clip? Children, please pay attention to the clip. And please have your psalm ready
have
to read.
Have mercy upon us, O Yahweh, according to your loving kindness. According to the abundance of your compassions, blot out our transgressions. Have mercy upon us, O Yahweh, according to your loving kindness. According to the abundance of your compassions, blot out our transgressions. Have mercy upon us, O Yahweh, according to your loving kindness. According to the abundance of your compassions, blot out our transgressions.
Praise Yahweh. And with that, sisters, let's make it our admonition to sin no more, to have that true love for everyone in the world and in the universe. And with this, I will turn over to our next speaker. Praise Yahweh.
Shalom, you may be seated. The title of my speech today is Thank You, Pastor, for the Challenges You Give Us. Now, as I was listening to all the other speakers, it was really hard not to just start taking from all their speeches, especially the children and our young adults, because they did such a great job, wouldn't you agree? Praise Yahweh. I think the thing that is sticks out in my mind the most about them is that Pastor told us that they would be doing that in these last days. And many of us have known them since birth or shortly after, but we've known a lot of them for a long time. And sometimes there's an ordination where the introducer was saying sometimes it's hard to choke back the tears. And that's how I feel when I see our young people come up and be the teachers that our overseer told us that they would be. But now remember, they're teachers also because we had a hand in that. Because they learn by example. Our overseer has told us how to behave, and then we in turn show that example to them. So I'm just so amazed at how wonderful our young people are. And that takes me into what I want to talk about today. There's a saying in the world, and I've heard it growing up, sometimes you treat the ones you love the most the worst. Have you ever heard that? Have, yes. And sometimes the reasons or excuses are, my loved ones will stick by me no matter what. They understand me. They know I didn't mean it. I was just venting. Okay? Now, this can affect us in our personal lives with our spouse, our children, our siblings, our parents, our friends. This doesn't... It's now no particular person. It affects us if we have this kind of way of looking at things. And we know that the stress in these last days is enormous. As one of the young speakers was saying, sometimes there's not words to come up to describe Yahweh. Sometimes there's not words to come up to describe the stress that we sometimes have on a day-to-day basis. Now, how does this affect the person that we are venting to, that we are expecting to stand by our side no matter how we treat them? How does this affect our children? Our children. Have you ever looked at your child and realized the negative behavior that you're seeing is a mini you? Have you ever seen that? And you say, now where did you learn that from? And then I look at them and it's a mini me. Because our children learn from our examples. Except they do. They accentuate things more and more and more. But we teach them by what we do. Now, it can also affect us as a House of Yahweh body. We're venting to our friends, to our coworkers, our supervisor, or those we are supervising. Now, there is a right and proper way that if something needs to be said or done, that we can do that in a very respectful way. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about sometimes we treat the ones we love the most the worst. And we love each other in the House of Yahweh the most, right? Right? Do we love each other the most in the House of Yahweh? So that includes everybody, how we treat them. Now, not only can we do this in our words and our actions, but this also can be done by just disregarding someone, not speaking to them, brushing them off, ignoring them. Our spouse, our child, our siblings, our parents, our friends, letting them feel the pressure that we are under. Now, I've heard most of the speakers have touched a little bit about showing love to others and that servitude. So we have to remember that if we're showing that love to others, we don't want them to feel our pressures. Everyone has their own pressures. That's something we don't need to share. That's something we can keep all on our own with the proper way to handle it through whoever, our counselors, right, if we have our parents. Negative emotions are one of the hardest things to overcome. Pastors told us that throughout the years. Our emotions, they're natural. Yahweh created us with emotions. There's nothing wrong with crying. There's nothing wrong with getting upset. It's how we deal with it. Many things, you know, I could get upset because I just broke something. It's how I deal with it. Now it's up to me on whether I take that out on my child or not, who had absolutely nothing to do with that. It's up to me on whether I treat my child the worst because I love them the most. It's a choice every single day on how we treat others. Have you ever looked back at the end of the day and thought, I was really harsh? Why did I get upset with them? They weren't even the cause. Well, that's a great thing to examine ourselves at the end of the day. That's really great because then we can start recognizing the patterns. Our pastor has taught us how to do that. And then we can think to ourselves, well, I can't change the past, but I can be a better person today. Now, that doesn't mean that we can do that every single day. Well, I can't change the past. I can only do better today, or I can only do better tomorrow. Because Yahweh wants to see us make progress. He wants to see us overcome. Yes, we are going to have setbacks. These patterns are rooted deep within us. They've been passed down from generation to generation. But he also says you can overcome it. And he also said that he brought us all here so that we can overcome it. One of the previous speakers talked about that they wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Yahweh. Well, that is a fact. But we wouldn't even know what we needed to overcome without Yahweh giving us a great teacher in these last days. So praise Yahweh. And even Pastor has come up here and said that that's something that he works on, is how dealing with different things that occur throughout the day. So our overseer comes up here and he tells us, this is something that I work on as well. So none of us are above and beyond our overseer, our teacher. So we have to remember that he can overcome it, and he is overcoming it, and he has overcame it. Well, so can we. Our overseer would not ask us to do anything that was impossible. Praise Yahweh. He wouldn't ask us to do anything that we couldn't accomplish, and he wouldn't put on us anything that we could not bear, just as Yahweh has said. Okay, so now the solution. Now we're done with the problem, so what's the solution? Well, we know that the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program offers many things on this topic and all the different books, but of course we know that in the Self-Control Chapter 2, there's a whole chapter devoted to controlling emotions, okay? And it says, emotions are strong physical and mental responses triggered by what we experience. Applying self-control to any emotion is an important aspect of developing character. Now, I'm not going to repeat this worldly phrase because I don't want to give it to the young children who have been guarded from these things. So I'm only going to say a portion of it, which is, that saying that says, words will never hurt me. We know that expression, right? That is the world's best way of dealing with hurtful words. There's no solution there. It's not even the truth. It's just as bad as saying that Santa Claus comes down the chimney. Words do hurt. It hurts so bad that children are committing suicide. It hurts so bad that children are killing their parents. It hurts so bad that mothers are driving their children into lakes and ponds. Okay, the words hurt. They cause damage, and there's more on the Peaceful Solution about that as well. So we have to understand what emotions are, which we already explained that, and who they can affect, right? They can affect everybody. Now in Hebrews 10:24, if you'll turn over to Hebrews 10:24, and I do like the way the speaker took care of the whole problem, how the Peaceful Solution and the Book of Yahweh don't go together, because we can see that it goes back and forth. In Hebrews 10:24, It says, and let us consider one another, how we may urge one another on towards love and righteous works. Every time I hear that scripture, I think of that old ringtone where he says, works. Did you hear that? Works. And I used to have that ringtone, and I loved that ringtone because it helped me to remember and keep me guided. Now, in order to urge someone on towards love and righteous works, the word urge out of the online dictionary is to urge someone is to exhort, to stimulate. An exhort is to thoroughly encourage. An example is to fill up with encouragement. Now, another one of the speakers said, do we show love to others just as Yahweh shows to us? If we don't want Yahweh coming down here and treating us because he loves us the most, the worst, I don't think I want that. We wouldn't survive it. If Yahweh did that to us, we would not survive it. But Yahweh doesn't do that to us, and we have to admit that Yahweh really is patient with us. He's patient with our overcoming. So we have to, in order to have little Yeshuas and little Noras, we have to be big Yeshuas and big Noras. And that's not just for the adults, young people and children. That's for all of us, because there's always somebody younger. Now, I also heard another speaker talking about apologizing and not waiting for Yeshua's memorial. Could you just play my video clip, please? And I want you to read this. A sister sent this as a word of encouragement. And it says, in Yahweh's great house, we are challenged to overcome ourselves and our own way of thinking and doing and becoming better people. So today, I want to extend the challenge that Pastor has given us all these years in the wilderness to do that. Let's take the challenge together. And let's treat the ones we love the most, the best. Let's treat everyone the best. And with that, I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat Shalom, great saints of Yahweh. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Praise Yahweh. Today, I would like to take the opportunity to speak to you about this or that. May I please have my first slide? Right. This or that. When I say that, I am referring to the Nimrod system. The system of which there's a mixture of righteousness and evil. On the outside of this system, it looks desirable, pleasing to the eyes. Looking desirable can take the form of many things, such as kissing babies with birth defects, dressing in white, being the most popular person in 2013, or even being on the cover of Rolling Stones and having millions of followers on Twitter. But on the inside or below the surface, it is filled with all manner of sin and evil. In the third month, the eighth day, 2014, we were blessed to hear the overseer speak about this system. The system of rebellion. The end of the Nimrod system, the end of man's government, of the people, and by the people. Picture for me, when you want to build a house, what do you need? Yes, you need a strong foundation, a strong and sure foundation. If you build a house with a weak foundation, what will occur? It will have cracks. It can have structural problems and even fall down. This system is built on lies, deception, tradition, and a false love. A weak foundation. In Genesis, we see the foundation of this system. starting to be poured. When the serpent came to the woman and said, "Oh no, sister, you will not die." Here you see the seed of rebellion and disobedience being planted, because Yahweh specifically said, you must not eat of this tree. When he said eat, he means have nothing to do with it. Do not go near it, don't partake of it, because surely you will die. To tell you the truth, honestly, I do believe that was the first negative advertising or marketing. Satan peddling a product to the woman that she did not need. She did not need it in her life. She made it look attractive to the eye so that she will want to even go against the law of Yahweh. So here we have the start of the foundation. As the days turn into years and the years into decades, in the year 1112 BC, we see the loyal priest of Yahweh, Samuel, diligently doing his job. Then you see false teachers, not the priest of Yahweh, false teachers coming before Samuel and saying, it is found in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 4, found on page 228. Then a large number of elders of Israel, they said elders of Israel, they never said the priest of Yahweh. These are the evil men, violent men, who wanted an army and a king to fight and carry out their will. Gathered together and approached Samuel when he was at Ramah, saying to him, "You are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Appoint to us a king to judge us just like the other nations." So in essential, they rejected not Samuel, but Yahweh. Continuing in Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 26 to 27, found on page 592, it reads, "I have heard what the prophets say, who prophesied lies in my name, saying, 'I have dreamt, I have dreamt.' How long will this be in the heart of the prophets who prophesied lies?" They prophesied lies. Yes, they are prophets of deceits of their own mind. In verse 21, it says, "I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, but they prophesied." So you will see here what these evil men did and why they wanted a king and not Yahweh. In book 2, we clearly see who is the teacher of that system. In Yochanan chapter 8, verse 44. "You are of your teacher, who is Satan, the devil, and whoever she who is your teacher desires you to do. She was a murderer from the beginning and remained not in the truth, because there is no truth in her. Therefore, when you speak her falsehoods, you speak her words, because she is a liar and the teacher of all lies." Fast forward many centuries and many generations forward. That system today is still here. It is still pushing these lies. It is still peddling a product we do not need in our lives. It has brought forth numerous wars, murders, hatred, no peace whatsoever. The end result of following that system is death and destruction. They will not inherit eternal life. Death and destruction. because their foundation is not strong. And it is not built on truth. This is what will occur to them. Can I please have my video clip? Notice what will occur to them. Their system will fall. It will not stand forever. Total destruction. That is the end result of this, of that system. The only thing that comes forth from that system is abomination and wars. Do you want to be a part of that system? No, we don't. Because that will be our end result. Listen to what Israel Hawkins have written to the popular Pope Francis, found in the Prophetic Word magazine, March 2014. Found on page 18, it reads, Pope Francis, your fathers have all sinned and brought about the evil system that you will bring to prophesy destruction unless you repent and let my people go now. You, Pope Francis, could be blessed if you repent now. In Daniel chapter 12, the books, the inspired writings of Yahweh prophets were sealed until the last generation. Notice that it was sealed until the last generation. The last generation is this present generation that holds the destructive devices invented and run by the use of computers that increase the knowledge of man will use to bring the end of deception brought by you and your religion. That is what will occur. Well, enough about that system. Now, by far the best system, this system, the system of the great house of Yahweh. It is built on scripture that Yahweh gave at the beginning of creation. It was all written out. Yahweh had it all planned and laid out crystal clear. It is built on the law and the prophets. This plan was with Yahweh from the beginning. In Genesis, I am going to touch on this plan. I'm going to read from the 13th book of Israel. He who rules of Yahweh, gold, pure, fine, gold, excellent book, part 1. On page 273, it reads, our foundation is the prophets. What the prophets wrote and the apostles. The foundation is the prophets and apostles with Yeshua. These seals, talking about the seals here, everything was sealed. Not in Daniel's time. It was sealed before that time. It was sealed in Genesis. To where no one had it could get salvation. They can qualify for it. Notice that. You can qualify for the salvation. They can qualify for it, and that's what Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob did. They qualified for this salvation. But they won't receive it without you. Awesome, right? You are the final. We are the final. You're the one that's going to bring in salvation. Continuing on page 278, it reads, this is a prophecy of the seventh era here. That day without us would not be made perfect. That's us he's speaking of. We're the ones. We will not all die, as the apostle said. We will not all die. As the apostle said, we will all not die. Do you get that? We will survive. But we will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Yahweh will change us. Yeshua will. He now has that power. Yeshua has qualified for that power. And we will be called up and we will see him given that power. He will change us and give us that authority to resurrect all of the others, all those that came before us, all the apostles before us, all the prophets. Now we have to picture this. We are on a journey, a straight and narrow path unto righteousness. In this journey, the straight and narrow path, there are many bumps. Many, many bumps, many hindrances. This is what is going to bring us to perfection. But what are we going to do when we reach these bumps? Are we going to say, he say, she say, I say? No. Pass the blame on? No. Repent. These are stumbling blocks to bring us to perfection. We must bear in mind our end result, never to lose sight of the golden reward, which is salvation, and the prophecy concerning us in these last days. Okay, I would like to stop it here. Pastor Overseer wasn't able to be with us today, but he sent a message for you in TV land. Can I have slide 2, please? What he said is for all of you in TV land, do you need a vacation? Are you tired? He said, come to the Feast of Passover and Unleavened Bread. It is going to be held in the fourth Roman month. Right? The fourth Roman month. Yeshua Memorial starts on the sunset of the 13th. Be here. Try your utmost best to be here and observe this feast. Because it is written that all those who left alive after your system is destroyed, meaning the beastly system, the Nimrod system, will keep Yahweh's feast. The mark of Yahweh. So try your best to be here for this feast. This feast of sin no more. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom. You may all be seated. And may the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I want to tell you a little secret about having a J in front of your name. You're actually a janitor. Okay. I saw this in the front of the South Gate. KWS, what does that stand for? Right, Knox Way Service. This is our service here in Abilene and Clyde. In Clyde here. Okay, we have this service that picks up our trash. But when they don't pick up our trash, quiet. I have to go pick up the trash. Well, as usual, I get the inspiration to look through the trash so you kind of know who threw the trash there and then pick it up. So, first, apparently this person loves crackers. Time to get rid of your leavening. Love paper. And then... not, mind you. They threw something out. Looks pretty interesting. Looks like a little treasure chest there. Okay. So, of course, nosy me opens it. And I see something in here, and I realize maybe this person shouldn't have thrown this out. Maybe they shouldn't. But before I show you what's in there, let's go ahead and let me tell you that when I saw this, I realized that the greatest things in life is thrown away by the world. They left it with Knox. They kind of threw it out, okay? So what did the world throw away? Well, why did they throw it away? Why did they throw this precious treasure box away? What's in it? This is what they gave it up for. They gave it up to the world that's full of temporary, non-lasting, unsatisfying things. Let me give you an example, okay? Ask yourself this question. How many times do you have to renew your phone? How many times do you have to update your software and pay hundreds of dollars because this program won't go with that program and then you gotta get it converted and you go through all this hassle? It's crazy, isn't it? It makes no sense. But that's just, you know, a little example of what we give it up for, what we give up this treasure for. Unlasting. But let's go into the deeper things. They give it up because they have this lust, this evil lust to have unlasting relationships, because they want to have fix on drugs, because they want more money. Even though unemployment's everywhere, they think they have hope out there. And what is the result of this? The result is diseases and more diseases and ultimately death. Let's read Yohanan 12:25. Yohanan 12:25 on page 829. Yohanan 12:25. On page 829. Yeshua is saying this to us. He who loves his life will lose it. His life right now. What you want to fulfill your life right now. That's all this evil passion. You'll lose it. But he who hates his life in this world. You want nothing. You want nothing connected to this world. We'll protect it for eternal life. That's what we're looking for, is that eternal life. We're not looking for this worldly way to continue. We want none of that. So back to the treasure box, because I know you're wondering what's in here. Now, to mind you, I think this person went to the oceans and found a huge clam, if you know what I mean. Okay, that's a little hint. Let's go to Matithia 13. Sorry, not there yet. I'm not going to show you that first. So. Okay, so Matithia chapter 13, verses 44 through 46. Matithia chapter 13, verses 44 through 46 on page 741. And listen carefully. The parable of hidden treasures. Again, the kingdom of Yahweh is like treasures hidden in a field, which when a man has found it, he hides it again. There must be something so special, right? You don't want to show nobody. And then, in his joy, goes and sells all that he has. He gives up everything of the world, everything that he thought was a blessing out in the world. He gives it all up and buys that field, goes and work on the 44. Want that field right there, okay? Praise Yahweh. And so let's keep on going in verse 45. It says, the parable of the pearl of great price. Again, the kingdom of Yahweh is like a merchant looking for fine pearls in the ocean, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. So, this is not an egg. It's a pearl, okay? From the biggest clam you could think of in the ocean, okay? It's a pearl. It's the kingdom. The world throws that away. Remember, Yahweh offered all mankind his kingdom if they would just follow after him. And what did they do? They closed up, they lock it up, and they threw it into Knox. Right? Right outside the South Gate. That's what they did. They didn't want it anymore. But let's keep on talking about this pearl, this great kingdom. Because we have to remember that one thing that they need the most, they threw away. When you're sick, what do you need the most? It's for yourself to get better. The only healing is Yahweh. When you go through troubles, when you lost a family member because of drugs, what do you need most? You needed Yahweh to have helped you prevent that. Everything that you needed the most, you threw away. The world threw it away. But again, this pearl is the kingdom of Yahweh, and it's built on foreverness. Foreverness. Let's refresh our memory with Daniel chapter 7, verses 27, on page 679. Page 679, Daniel chapter 7, verse 27. And this should bring us great hope, okay? Then the kingdoms and governments and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven will be given to the people of the saints of Yahweh, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all governments will serve and obey him. We are the everlasting kingdom. We're the ones that's going to inherit this. But remember, we are the kingdom. The people. The people is what makes the kingdom. And with people, there's relationships that's formed. We heard a little bit about it today with the parenting, right? Your relationship with your mom, with your dad, it's the kingdom. It's this pearl that you will throw away when you decide to join the worldly ways. This relationship, all these relationships, whether it be between a husband and a wife, between teachers and students, friends, even among brothers and sisters, that relationship you throw away when you go after this lust. And the relationship that you get in the house of Yahweh, it's various types of joy, isn't it? The joy you have with your children is different from the joy you have with your husband, the different joy you have with your sisters, your friends. But Yahweh allows us to experience this because he's giving us a little sneak peek into something that is forever. So don't throw this away. Because when you throw things like this away, you find that it is the hardest thing to get back. How many people have fallen away and they can't get themselves to come back because they have this guilt? Remember what Cain said, Yahweh, you shunned me, you pushed me out of here. No, I didn't push you out of there, Cain, you chose it yourself. But Yahweh, this is too much. This is too much for me to carry because I know I'll never return. I know I can't. I know what I've given up. Don't you think that's why Cain said that? This is too much for me to bear? Don't cast this away because Knox is not going to drop the garbage in front of the South office or in front of the South gate and say, oh, I think somebody left something valuable. Knox is not going to do that. So it's up to us. Keep your treasures on your shelves in front of you and remember that Yahweh's kingdom is forever and you want every part of it. So if you all please stand, I would like to introduce our next speaker.
Shabbat Shalom. You may be seated. I'm going to be talking today about our tests and trials. Anybody here know what those are? Our pastor says there are blessings and that without them, we can't be perfected. Now, we all know this because if we're not tested, how will we know we are not perfect? So, I wanted to start out with a little scenario. I want you to pretend that you're given the responsibility of overseeing the cafeteria. And one fifth day morning, which is one of the busiest days of the week, you wake up late, 4:53 to be exact, And you have to be there at 20 after 5 because you have the key. So you're rushing to go to work, and your first call comes, I can't be there today. Okay, praise Yahweh, and you go on to work to let the two people that are going to be there in. Well, by the time it's time to open, 6 people have called in. Not counting the 2 that you already knew weren't going to be there. So you're getting a little stressed. And you're thinking, well, who's going to cook the food? Who's going to be on the grill? The grill cook's not here. And you, I think I'll just call Pastor and ask him to call a fast and we'll all go home. Okay. And you might start looking like this number 1, please. Now, some people in the kitchen might try to say that this person looks familiar. Do not believe them. Don't believe it. Now, this woman, what can she do now? She's reached the point of ultimate stress. She has forgotten that Yahweh said in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that he would not ever put more on her than she could bear, that he would make a way for her. She's totally forgotten this. She's forgotten all about the self-control book that she studied for so many years. She has worked herself into a mess. What is she going to do? I can remember when the self-control book came out. I think Pastor wrote the book for me. He said, this woman needs self-control, because I didn't even know what self-control was. Did you? No. I thought self-control was you eat 1 piece of cake, not 2. I didn't know it was a way of life. Self-control is something that you do continuously in every moment of your life, in your thoughts. It tells us in the self-control book what it is. It's controlling the thoughts, controlling the actions, the feelings first, then the actions, because they lead to rewards or consequences. Well, I can tell you right now, before the house of Yahweh, mine always led to consequences. And I think most of the people in the world do. Well, in the self-control book, it tells us on chapter 1, page 11, to guard your mind. Guard your mind. You know that thoughts enter your mind at the speed of light. I can't even imagine that. My mind can't conceive that. But the only thoughts you really do think about are the thoughts you think about. Okay? And I'm reading that book, and I'm telling you, I read that book and read that book. I took it everywhere with me. I slept with it. I bathed with it. I wore it out because I can't tell you what it meant to me to finally figure out what was wrong with me. Because I would say, what's wrong with me? I lived on my emotions. As my daughter said in chapter 2, I think she looked at my notes. Our emotions can rule us, and that's what people live on in the world. Strictly on emotion. Everything's about emotions, and if they're negative emotions. When I started paying attention to my thoughts, I couldn't believe it. I thought, who is this person? All she thinks is I could take one little negative thing that occurred and go all day long with it, analyzing it, thinking about it. Why? How? And never let it go. Not until Pastor and the self-control book came along could I stop that. And I'm going to share with you something that occurred. And it was one day, our overseer, he's a hands-on overseer. Anything to do with his people, he's on it and he's guarding it. So because I'm with the food, I get the opportunity to talk to him because he calls about the milk, the eggs, the cheese, the meat, everything. Anything that goes into your mouth, you can bet that he's made sure it's perfect as can be. So not long after this book came out, one day he calls about the milk and I'm crying and upset. And he says, what's wrong with you? And I said, what? And it reminds, kind of like when Yahweh said, Cain, why is your countenance so low? And he said, well, nothing's going right here, you know. And that's how I was. And Pastor says, get a grip on it. Go wash your face and go back to work. That's his answer for everything. But you know what? I did. I stopped and I washed my face and I went back to work. And I said, aha, we can control our emotions if we want to control our emotions. But we as women have been told all of our lives, you're emotional. It's okay, you're a woman, she's a woman. But no, that is no excuse to sin. Now, what can this woman do? She's got herself into this mess. She's really stressed out. And she's got all these people coming to be fed. Well, this number two, she can stop. And I'm going to tell you right now, that S stands for more than stop. This number three, shut up. Just shut your mouth for a minute. Have you ever felt like that? You just don't say it. Don't say it, because remember, Pastor said, out of the mouth speaks the abundance of the heart. And when you shoot that negative poison out there, you can't take it back. Just like the speaker said earlier, those words hurt and they never go away. So when you become angry and you hurt your child or your worker or any your friend or anybody, you can't go back and take it away. You can say, I'm sorry, but the damage is done. So whatever you do, just don't say anything. Just shut up. And always, and then what do? You think about it. Well, come on, think about it. Yahweh said he wouldn't put more on you than you can bear. It's just eight people. There's eight here. Okay, she can go on the grill. She can fry the chicken. Me and the front end supervisor, we'll do the running, right? I have to say, I just want to say that woman is, she practices this book, because I can say there's eight people not here and this is the list. And she'll say, praise Yahweh, and go right on about filling that list. And that's what we all have to do. We have to learn to stop. Think, is it really impossible? No, Yahweh said he wouldn't put more on us. And think about your options and then proceed with the right choice. We can always have self-control. All we have to do is set our mind. Now, maybe your problem is just somebody at work that gets on your nerves, or one of your children gets on your last nerve. Well, have you ever stopped to think, if they're getting on your nerves, what are you doing to theirs? Right? Because odds are you're getting on their nerves too. So when you become, we have to learn, Pastor tells us over and over again, we have to learn to love one another and not be irritated with one another. To always, always put each other first. And I know that any of you out there, and if you don't think I wore this book out, it's falling apart. And I had to put a new cover on it. But ladies, if you have negative thoughts, if you have problems and your emotions are hard to get under control, if somebody says something to you and you're thinking how they're saying something against you, if you're always taking the negative, get this book and read it, study it, follow it. This is the book that Pastor wrote for us. I guess he wrote it for y'all too. But he wrote this book to help us overcome our stupidity that we brought with us from the world. And if you do, and if we all start doing this, we can look like disc number four. See? It was a spatula. And so with that, I'm going to turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, you may be seated. I wanted to talk today about the day I fell in love. The day I fell in love, and it was 26 years ago. Now, I didn't fall in love with a person. I fell in love with the house of Yahweh.
And, you know, in the world we're taught about love and love stories and all these romances and things like that, but when you fall in love with the work of Yahweh and the house of Yahweh, it's a little bit different than those romance novels. When I first came to the house of Yahweh, it was 26 years ago. I was 24 years old. As I go through my story, I want you to ask yourselves quietly, why am I here? Why have I stayed here? Will I remain in this house forever? I want you to think of those things. I want to show you a clip of what Pastor looked like 4 months after I met him and what he was teaching back then. Clip one, please.
You don't know how, brother, I cried overnight for some of you because you won't pay attention and because you fail to remember what I showed you. This is not a game we're playing here at the house of Yahweh. This is Yahweh's last day's work, and there is no other. If you would try with all your might to listen to what I say today, and remember this, you will not be deceived by Satan. You'll know where the salvation is. You'll know where the work of Yahweh is, the only work, and there won't be any doubt in your mind that Yahweh is guiding you and will protect you from now on.
Praise Yahweh. Now, when I first met Pastor Hawkins, it was the Pentecost of 1988. And back then, we were a very small group, and we were on 14 acres of land. And did you know that Pastor went tent to tent to introduce himself to every new person that came to the house of Yahweh back then? And I remember, I was young, and I remember there was a knock on the tent, and the tent rattled. And my mother said, "You guys, get up! Get up, Israel Hawkins is at the tent door." And I was like, okay. I didn't really understand who Israel Hawkins was at that time in my life, and I had no idea the impact that that man would soon have on my life. I hope I don't cry. From the very first time I met Pastor, he was always about the work. Even though people persecute him and they say every manner of evil against him, when I first came here, I said, well, you know, I wanted to be involved in something. And my cousin and I, we said we wanted to come and do the work. And he said, okay, come to the press room. And so we went to the press room that day. And I remember, I don't know if he remembers it, but that day we were met by Kahan Benaiah. And we were both given shovels. And we went around, and this was after Pentecost. It was very hot. And we dug up the stickers on the 14 acres for 8 hours. And it was really hot. And I remembered thinking, because I was from Chicago, and I thought, I didn't sign up for this. I did not sign up for this. I was a city girl. I didn't even know what a sticker was. And the great Kahan that was working with us, every time he could see that we were really wanting to quit, he'd look at us and he'd say, "These are jewels in your crown." And I said, okay. Hey, shall we? And we kept on. And after that, we must have passed that test because we didn't have to go back there the next day. So we got a new assignment. And I remember we were driving up, and I was with my whole family at that time. And we drove up to Mama D's house. That's the great Kohana Deshaya. And we walked in, and her and Rachel McMillan were waist-deep in pears. Pears up to their waist in the living room. And I'm sure Kohana Deshaya will remember, she taught us how to peel and peel and peel and peel and peel pears. So we passed that test. And when we got home, the pastor thought we did such a great job that he delivered a bunch of peaches to our house. And we peeled and we peeled and we peeled. I didn't realize I was falling in love with the work of Yahweh back then, because it seemed like a lot of hard work and a lot of tests and trials, because peeling and peeling and peeling and canning and canning and canning, when you come from Chicago, that's hard work. I come from a family that I didn't really have to get trained out in a garden or anything. Things were pretty much done for me, which Pastor had to kind of retrain me when I came here. So I did the stickers, I did the pears, and I remember one day Pastor calling and saying, you know, I had a different name back then, but he said, you know, I'd like to start a youth group, and I think that you would do great with dealing with the young people. And I said, me? And he said, yeah. So we started working with the young people, and he said, now, I think we need a concession stand so that we can start serving coffee to our people when they're coming to morning prayer. And I said, okay, great. And he said, well, you can get your youth group to do it, right? And I said, sure. Well, the youth group kind of forgot to wake up. And so every morning during the feast, I was there at the new concession stand, which is actually still here, by the way. They just moved it from the old 14 acres. And I'd get up and I would do the coffee before the morning prayer at 7:30 in the morning. And I got to know a lot of the people. I love the people of Yahweh, and I love the work of Yahweh. And I thought, wow, this must be what I was called here to do, because, you know, in the world I was a waitress. I always waited tables and dealt with people, and I thought, for sure, this is going to be it. Well, that didn't last very long, because the next thing I knew, I was carted out of the concession stand, and they opened it up, and the bowlers were frying eggs and doing all kinds of things, and that was the beginning of what turned out to be our restaurant in the House of Yahweh. I don't know, some of you might remember that, right? Well, I'd like to play clip two, because I'm going to kind of talk while it's playing. When I first came, we were on the old feast grounds here. This is back in 1990. We all ate outside at picnic tables, and there was a little concession stand, and there's our tent. We thought we were just so amazingly big because we had to get this tent. There's me with a doily on my head. We didn't have holy garments for the women back then. That was in 1990. And you can see, I don't know if you can see, but Pastor's right there behind me. He's going to come up in the clip in a minute here. I want to show you. There he is. There's the pastor. Do you see him with the black kippah on? Okay, now there, look at that t-shirt that our great Kahan's wearing. We formed a fundraising committee because, you know, the work of Yahweh was really small. We didn't have very many people back then. There's when we were building the new sanctuary. Yep. Do you know that we used to bring food? The men would work and the women would bring food every first day to the shower rooms and feed the men while they worked at the sanctuary. This is a Praise and Raisin t-shirt. We made this, and we tried to get money to build up the House of Yahweh. And this is the first mug that we did. It says, I'm hot for Yahweh. Revelation 3:15, oh, that you were either cold or hot. So those were our mugs back then, and that's what we did. And if you were a real fan of the House of Yahweh, we had those too. Little fans, I'm a fan of the House of Yahweh. Well, that's when I realized I was falling in love. I was really falling in love. I wanted to do everything to be a part of this work. But my speech really isn't about that. I just wanted to set a foundation for you. I've witnessed many things being in the House of Yahweh 26 years, and I wanted to share a few things because Pastor has always been a part of this. He's been that rock. Pastor is a rock. And I want to tell you, when in October of 1990, I remember when we were listening to the shortwave radio, my brother and I, and my mom was in the kitchen, and the Malachi Martin interview came on. Do you remember that? Where he was advertising the keys of this blood. And we called Pastor, and he was so excited, and we got the tape to Rachel McMillan, and she transcribed it, and we played it, and we could start seeing that the prophecies were coming to pass in this time period. And then, little by little, my family started leaving the House of Yahweh. And I remember when my family started leaving, they were the reason that I came. I didn't come on my own. I wasn't a religious person. I was out doing my thing. My mother was doing a lot of the searching. I just kind of came along for the ride. In fact, like David, I would have probably been the one least likely to stay in the House of Yahweh out of my family. If you were looking at outward appearances, it wasn't really the main thing with me, religion. But I started falling in love. I started getting my feet grounded. And it was only because of Pastor and him getting me involved in this work. The reason I'm telling you all of this is because if you're not involved in the work and you're not falling in love with the House of Yahweh, you need to start. It's not too late. It's not too late. Do you know, I remember being at a baby shower at the press room
the night that that baby died and they called Pastor to lay hands on that baby and that baby came back to life. But I agree with Pastor. You know, I remember when the ambulance came and there was a big to-do and it was a really awesome event. But you know when that family fell away and a friend of mine who's also been here a long time, we're trying to talk to that woman and we said, but your baby actually died and came back to life. And she said, why is everyone always bringing that up now? So you can see that if you don't fall in love with the house of Yahweh and you don't get involved in the work and you don't have your feet firmly planted in this soil, that even, like Yeshua said, even if they were raised from the dead, you still would not believe. There has to be that foundation by that man, that great man, that great teacher. I remember I have to share a couple things with you because we were getting ready to do the devil worship book. And back then we didn't have our own photographers and stuff, so we actually had to send the photos away. When those photos came back, there were claw marks down the photo as if someone had actually scratched like a cat. And we called the guy and he was just, that is the strangest thing. There was nothing on there. And then there was like a claw mark going down when we were doing the devil worship book. Pastor kept pushing. He said, let's do it again. Satan is not going to stop this work, he said. And I remember thinking, he is such a great example. So we did it. We did it again, and it went through, and we got the books done, and that press room flooded. All the books were ruined. That was in 92, I think. Pastor said, that's okay. We'll make more books. Satan is not going to stop this work. And we made more books. I remember in 1994, there was a huge falling away. Pastor lost his whole family. But do you know, through all of that, Pastor just got stronger. And as his strength grew, the house of Yahweh got stronger too. He is our rock. He is our example. Praise Yahweh. In 1995, I remember another falling away because we were changing our names and, you know, we were going through our ear-awling. And I remember Pastor calling all the Kahans and Kohanas to his office. And this was in 1995. And one of his very dear Kahans that he wanted to do his all, he said, is he coming? And I remember one of the Kahans saying, no, he said he's not coming. And Pastor cried. And then Pastor gave the all to the great Kahan Benaiah, and he said, great Kahan Benaiah, will you awe my ear? He kept going. He kept the work going. I remember in the year 2000, we had another great falling away because we had to do a confession and rebaptism. Some people didn't want to confess their sins, and they tried to drag out others with them. But Pastor grew stronger, the work grew stronger, and we kept going. I could go on and on and on. The persecution, the great Kahan Yedidiah's arrest, the many other things in the house of Yahweh that we've witnessed, how Satan has tried to stop this work and how Pastor stood strong. I remember one time when Pastor was going through all that persecution, someone had the nerve to say to him, you know, for the sake of the publicity of the house of Yahweh, I think you should retire. When Pastor told me that, I said, exactly how do you retire from being spoken of in the scriptures? Is that like an option? Does one just erase that prophecy? I mean, how would you do that, retire from being the one spoken of to lead the house of Yahweh in these last days? So I say to anyone that feels the same way as that particular person, that Yahweh is very specific with his prophecies. In Isaiah 2:2 and Micaiah 4:1, he tells us his house will be established in these last days. And it has. Zechariah 5 says it'll be established in a land that isn't even established at the time that the prophecy was written. And it was. In Zechariah 6, Yahweh even tells Yahshua, behold, great Yahshua Messiah, the branch. The branch.
Isaiah 44 talks about pastor being, it tells us his name, what he's going to do, what he's going to teach. In Isaiah 44, a miracle name given to him at birth. You see, YH was here long before any of us were here, doing his job, laying the foundation so that we could be here right now. There's people who leave, they say, now I'm the one. It's me, I'm the one. Of course, Israel Hawkins taught me everything I know to get to this point, but now I'm the one. I say to them, who taught you all that you now know? Oh, prophet breath. I say to them, bring forth your proof, your credentials, where you are spoken of by Yahweh the Almighty. At this time, I'd like to play my last clip. I want to show you a picture. I don't know if they can zoom in on it or not. But a long time ago, Pastor knew who he was. Do you see what he's wearing there? See those leaves around his neck? He was dressed as that olive branch. That was at a fundraiser that we had here. And he came dressed as the olive branch. He's always been our olive branch. He's always been our strong rock. And in these last days, I urge everyone, find your place in the house of Yahweh. Never, ever rise above your teacher, because you can't do it. He has been spoken of and given this job by Yahweh. And sisters, we're going to enter the kingdom together behind our great teacher. And may Yahweh bless your understanding. And with this, I'd like to turn it back over to the great priests in the house of Yahweh.